But we're going to dive in. We've got 2 weeks left of our series. We've been hanging out in the Psalms, putting them on repeat in our lives as we go on a journey, coming in line with what the followers of God did throughout time, as we saw that they listed these truths, these songs, these hymns, these prayers, that when things were going good and things were going bad, they'd be able to recite, they would be able to remember, so that instead of all the worry, all the dread playing on repeat in their minds, instead God's word, God's truth, his promises would play on repeat. And so we have 2 weeks more that we want to lean into that, but this morning, I want to ask you a question. How many have ever seen, and I'm going to show my age a little bit, how many have ever seen a movie or one of those old cartoons where someone was stranded, you know, on a beach? They're stranded there. I love watching with the boys. We watch Alone. One of our good friends, he was almost supposed to go on the show, and so they sort of had us with a lean towards watching it. It's a show that, I think it's on History, and these people go out and they spend all this time alone, and it made me think back of those old cartoons where that person would be on that island, didn't know where to go, didn't know what to say. They're a little bit frustrated, and along that way, they find a bottle. And what do? They write a little message, they put it in the bottle, and then they put a cork on top. I don't know where, you know, probably from the old bottle. They put the cork on top, and then what do? They throw it out into the water, hoping that someone would get the message in the bottle. But I think we're maybe not stranded on an island per se, but I think if we're honest, there's many people in our lives, many people in our circles of influence, and maybe today even in this place or online, that you feel a little bit stranded. You feel like you've been having a rough time, things haven't gone as you planned or expected. Maybe there's some struggles, or as we're getting near the end of summer, as you're approaching fall, you're thinking about all that is about to come. You see all the schedules that are coming, all the bills that are coming, back to school, back to real life, vacations over, and you're like, what am I going to do now? And sometimes we don't know where to turn. We go out, we do all of our things, we come home, the house is a mess, the to-do list is still growing, and you're like, where do I turn? And sometimes you just want to take that bottle and say, like, help, and throw it into the water, hoping somebody would pick that up. This morning, I want to talk about not only hope for that, but another message that's placed in a bottle. There's something else that we see in Scripture this morning, actually in our psalm, that's placed in a bottle. And because it's placed in a bottle, there's a message of hope today for you and for me. That even in our worst days, even in our most trying times, there is hope. Even if you've been wrong, you've been unjustly done wrong, or things have been against you, or even in our world that has happened, today there is hope because of the truth in this message. So today, if you wouldn't mind writing notes, your note today in the title of our message is this: does anyone care? Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I've wondered that question. Does anyone care? Does anybody hear my prayer? God, do you hear this? Sometimes you turn around and friends have gone in different ways and you've wondered, does anyone care? And I want to tell you today, someone does. So we're going to look together, if you wouldn't mind, going to Psalm 56, the Psalm of David, reading from verse 8 through 11. And this is what it said, reading from the New Living Translation. As David is now in sort of in captivity, talking about his journey, things are not going as planned. This is actually a psalm of lament, of personal lament. But this is where we lean into, and it says, you keep track of all of my sorrows or wanderings. You have collected what? All of my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. My enemies will retreat when I call to you for help. This I know, this I'm okay to put my foot down on and say, this is what I believe, that God is on my side. I will praise God for what he has promised. Yes, I praise the Lord for what he has promised. I trust God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? The beginning of the psalm is talking about, and as we're seeing the context of what is happening here, this isn't when things are going great. This is when it seems like all the deck is packed against him. Things aren't going as planned. And he's wandered through that. But he gets to verse 8, and as I'm sure of those times where tears have run down his face, when he's been anointed to be king, but he's going through everything but, he's probably wondering, why, God? Where are you? Don't you care? Don't you see? Ever been there before? Ever wondered some of that? Ever have something go wrong in your life or someone do you wrong? And tears come down and it's like, I wish I could just get even. Or I wish I could get back. Doesn't anybody care? Doesn't anybody see that I'm working so hard and I'm not getting that promotion, but everybody else is stepping on me and climbing up? Does anybody really care? I think if we're honest, there's some questions that we ask, and that's the first truth this morning, the questions that we ask. Because especially as we walk into a new season, as we walk into fall, the hustle and bustle that comes with it, there's some times where we ask those questions. God, I've been praying for so long. God, I've been doing all these things. Where are you? Do you care about my prayers? Do you hear my prayers? I've been crying out at night. My pillow was soaked when I wake up from the tears that I'm shed. Does anybody care? And I want to tell you today that David is convinced. There's a conviction of spirit and a conviction of heart that yes, someone does. That God does care. And I want to tell you today that today, if you're wrestling with that question, maybe you're asking that question or a version of it, today someone does care. God cares. Jesus cares. As we're going to see why we can trust that, David leans into those moments, and it's a question that we wrestle with and grip with if we want to be honest with ourselves. And the key that comes is we see in verse 8 and 9 that he collects every single one of those tears. And what does that mean? What is the imagery and what is the picture that's saying there? Every time that your heart is breaking, he's not like, well, I don't care. Every time that you've been done wrong, he is recording every one of those tears. He is recording every one of those injustices. You're not meant to carry that upon yourself. You're not meant to carry the weight, to carry the strife, to carry that burden here. He's called to actually make your way light so that you would have his rhythms of grace as he carries that. He's the one who sees you, who knows you, who cares enough that he's recording it down. Every time that you've been hurt and says, does anyone care? He's sitting there saying, I do. I do. So much so that I'm recording every single one of those tears. I'm collecting every one of those because I care that much about you. For some of us, we have a mixed view and a mixed understanding of who God is. We have him as this angry God who's throwing lightning bolts up from heaven. But the truth, as we look in the Psalms, is we see this truth apply that A.W. Tozer and others like Barth would say is in those moments that how we see God is how he'll be reflected through us. So David is giving us a picture that when the lies of the enemy and the lies of our circumstance wants to say, no one cares and God doesn't see, God doesn't answer, I can't trust him, he is not for me, he is not with me. David is saying, I am convinced of this, God is on my side and God is with me even when my circumstances don't look it. Even though I'm a prisoner, even though I'm in captivity, that is not the end of my story. I might not be the one as my tears come down to solve the problem. But the one who is greater than me, the one who is greater than all, is recording every one of those things because he is with me, he is for me, and he sees me. When we start to see God in that light, it starts to change how we approach him and how we approach others. Instead of getting angry and saying, I'm going to get even, instead we say, God, I'm going to you, I trust you. So the questions that we ask. And now we move to the message in the bottle. On those moments where we're feeling stranded, there is a message that we can take from this, a message that we can take from verse 8 and 9, that he stores every one of our tears. That's crazy. I won't make you look to your neighbor on this moment, but how many have ever shed a few tears? And I mean the real ones. You know, when nobody's watching and you're like, oh, there's dust in my eye. Those kind of ones. Where you hope nobody's there, maybe you walk out to the bush, yeah, I like that, or I get out in a canoe or in a boat, and I'm kind of like, God, where are you? Man, I've been praying for this for so long, do you care? Maybe that's just your pastor's problem. There's some moments when I feel it's okay, because David's like that. You come back in those songs of lament, you're like, I'm wrestling through it all, and it's like, but God, I trust you, But God, do you care? But God, I trust you. Because we're really grappling with the things of life. It's not hiding and control and overriding like we said in the first. It's really healthily dealing with these situations. But I don't know about you, but there is hope for me and there's hope for us and there's hope for your neighbor and the person that you don't even know yet, that today there is a message in the bottle that comes from verse 8 and 9. And this is the message that we can take from it. First one is this. When you pull out that message, it drifted up to you. Open it up. And you see that he's collecting your tears and writing every one of those things down, taking an account on your behalf, on your side. We can see the first one, that God sees you. Today, your tears aren't invisible. There's some times where it feels like it, doesn't it? Those hard seasons, you're like, man, does anybody see them? Does anybody know the heartache that I'm going through? Sometimes we get tears out, and other times it's just the tears of the heart. He sees every one of those. So today, if you're going through what seems like hell, I want to tell you today that someone cares. He's counting every one of those tears. Your tears, your pain, your grief, your hurt, your journey, it is not invisible to God. He cares about you. He knows your story. He knows every one of your flaws and every one of your victories, and he still cares. Don't let the lies of the enemy or the lies of this world convince you otherwise. There is someone who cares about you, who sees you, who knows you. He's invested in your feelings, your emotions, and your circumstances. You move his heart. Jen and I, we were actually just talking about something on the way here. And she was laughing that as a dad or as a parent sometimes, do you ever want to like solve problems for your kids before? Maybe it's, again, just me. But in those moments, there's times where it's funny, like a lot of things can happen to me and I'm like, nah. If it happens to Jen, I'm like, oh, I'm upset. If it happens to the kids, I'm really upset. I want to step in. I'm invested. I care. I want to defend. I have to talk to God a lot of times because I want to take record of all those things that happened to them. In that same way, though, it gives us a picture, just a glimpse, such pale in comparison to how much our Heavenly Father sees and cares about each and every one of us. When you're going through it, when you feel that no one's there, our Heavenly Father is sitting there saying, I got you. My heart is moved. Moved by compassion. How many times in the New Testament do we see even Jesus who's displaying the truths of the Father, who's living that out? We see that by compassion, he is moved to respond. In your moment when you're going through those tough times, Heavenly Father, he is moved by compassion. He is moved because he cares and he sees and he knows. He's not asleep at the wheel on your journey. He is there. The second truth, with you. Because not only does God see you, but God is with you. God is near. He's close enough that he sees and he knows, but he's not an impersonal God who's staying at a distance saying, it doesn't matter to me, I'm God and I don't care. Instead, we see that he is with us. How do we know that's true? Through Jesus the Son. He is Emmanuel, which means God with us. So in that moment when you're saying, nobody cares, nobody sees, nobody knows, be reminded today in this psalm that David is saying, God sees you, God knows you, he knows every part of your story, but he doesn't run the other way, but instead he says, I am right there with you in it. So today, if you're carrying a heavy load and you're like, does anyone care? Does anyone see? Today, I want you to know that he does see, that he does know, and he's right there in the middle of it with you. You and I don't have to do this alone. Can you imagine David? He has this future that's supposed to be coming, but he's having a rough go of it a lot of his journey. If you read through his journey, he's on the run. People want to kill him. He's in captivity. He's having to pretend like he's insane in those moments. All these things are going on, but he knows his future is he's supposed to be king. I think there were some times of frustration, some times of overblowing, of sitting there saying, like, God, what's going on? But in this moment, he is convinced that God sees him, that God is with him. And the final one this morning, that God is on his side. Today, the message in the bottle tells you that no matter your circumstance, that God is for you. God is for you, not against you. So in those times of the lie that said, my life is falling apart, it must mean that God is against me, I want to tell you that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because the Word of God says that God is for you, not against you. So what we have to, in those times, say, devil, get behind me. I'm not going to listen to your lies or to your words. I'm going to listen to the Word of God that is true and without error. And that's why we play that on repeat in our mind, the truths of Scripture that reminds us of the truth that God sees us, that God is near to us, that God is for us. That in those moments, you don't have to fight the fight because you can walk with confidence and boldness that you don't have to get even. You don't have to get revenge because God is the one who is in charge. His justice is perfect. His justice is true. And we trust him with it. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm going to trust that God is for me. Look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, God is for you too. Because we need to be reminded of that truth over and over and over again. Because I love that truth that's played out in Romans 8, 31, is that if God is for us, who can be against us? Think of the boldness and the courageousness of that claim in those moments that if God is for you, who can be against? If you said that in a sporting world, well, you know, that person's, you know, my quarterback, so who could be against? People would say that was arrogant, but that's not arrogant. That's confidence because God is the one above all. Everything is from him and for him. In those moments, if he is on your side, if he is the one who is taking down notes, if he is the one who is collecting all of your tears, I don't know about you, but there not should be an arrogance about us, but instead there should be a boldness and a confidence that's saying, even though I'm walking through what seems like hell, I know that that is not the end of the story because I already saw what happened, that we will be raised to life. That even in the darkest of season, that is not the end of your story, not the end of my story. That even in death, there is still life. That's the hope, church, that we have. You and I have that hope. That is the hope of glory. That in those moments when everything seems to be going against you, remember that God is for you. So this coming week and the coming weeks that come for some of our university students that are coming back, when it feels like it's overwhelming and everything is piling up against you, be reminded that when everything is up against you, God is for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? So when you get that bad professor, we have really good professors here too though. But when you get one of those ones and you feel like everything is up against you, just be reminded that you're going to get through it. God sees you. God knows you. He's with you and he is for you. It gives us hope in those troubling seasons. And the why can say that to be true because some might ask, how do you know that's true? Tell me today why you have confidence in that. How do you know that this isn't just, you know, imaginary? I know that this is true because God has already demonstrated decisively in Jesus Christ. We see that in Romans 5, 8. That while we were still lost, while we were still a long ways off, the Father loved you and I so much that he sent his son Jesus to come to die for you and for me. The perfect and sinless Lamb. To come for us, to make a way for us. Why? Because God is for you, not against you. God is with you, and God sees you. When you start to allow that to be the lens of how you see God and how you relate to God, everything starts to change a little bit. Yes, there is still standards. Yes, it's still calling us to a place of holiness and righteousness, as we learned last week. But in that light, we have to be reminded that when things are going wrong in our life, it doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong. Somewhere as Christians, we've got this screwed up. Somewhere we're like, well, nothing bad ever happens to Christians. And I'm like, wow, like, where'd you read that? Yeah. Some are like, amen, amen, I've been there. Because it's true. But Jesus tells us that we're going to have trials. We're going to have struggles. Getting saved doesn't mean it's going to be perfect all the way along. It's now that you know the perfect one, that he sees you, that he knows you, that he's with you, and that he's for you. That's the hope that we have, that we will overcome because he has already overcome. We're not standing on our strength. We're not standing on our journey. We're standing on the finished work of the cross because of Jesus Christ. That is the hope that we have. And before we get practical with the 3 minutes we have left, in that journey, I have a little bit more hope for you today. Because every tear that we shed, he collects. But you ever read at the end of the book? It says that what's he going to do with your tears? He's going to wipe them all away. He says, God will wipe away every tear. Our pain, our tears, our fears, our sickness, our shame will not have the final word. Jesus will, and the resurrection proves this. What we just celebrated through baptism, that we join with him in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, that is the hope that we have as followers of Jesus, that he has the final word, that in his death, in his resurrection, we can join with him in the hope of glory. We can join with him that every tear that we have, every pain that we have, will be wiped away and made whole and made right and made well because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For all eternity. Not just today, not just tomorrow, but all eternity. That's why you and I can trust him. We need to learn to do that. We need to learn to trust him in all of those truths. Trust him in every one of the promises. He sees you. He knows you. He cares for you. He's with you. He is for you. And he will help you fight your battles. So what do we do this week? How do we trust his messages and get practical with it before we end? Three easy things, easy to say, hard to do. First, when you're struggling with this, because we're going to struggle. We're still going to struggle through those moments where you're like, God, it feels like you're so far away. Does anyone care? First thing you can do is bring it. Bring that grief, bring that hurt, bring that tear, bring that injustice, bring that thing that is troubling, that's grieving your spirit, that's grieving your heart, that's causing unrest and turmoil inside. Bring it to him in prayer. For some, it might be the first time that you do that. Bring it to him. Second one, hold it. Not hold on to the junk because you just gave it away, but hold on to his promises. Get in the word of God and explore his word and explore his promises. Why we've been hanging out in the Psalms all summer is we want that to be on repeat in your heart and in your mind. That when the lies of this world and culture comes and says all these mistruths, instead, know the truth of what he says about you. What he says that he is going to do, the promises that he has said, the promises that he's already fulfilled, and the promises that he is yet to fulfill that is still coming. Hold on to those things. When it's hard, when it's tough, be reminded of those truths that God sees you, God knows you, God is with you, and God is for you. You might have to write it somewhere in front of your car, put it on your notes, put it on your screensaver, any of those moments that in that moment say, my God is for me. That even though the tears are running down my face, when I have so many questions left unanswered, I am going to know this for true, that God is on my side. I love what David said it that way. He's like, this I know. That wasn't like, this is what I'm kind of convinced of. Remember, at the beginning, he's walking through these things, ups and downs, like this is hard, this is rough, but this I know. It's like he kind of, gave himself a little smack. He's like, no, get true with this. This is what I know. God is on my side. That's the truth for you. That's the truth for me today. He is on your side. He is for you. No matter what your circumstances look like, no matter what you're walking through today, that truth is true. Hold on to that promise that God is on your side. And last but not least, trust it. Let his words and his word shift your perspective. Trust that he is on your side and that he's going to fight for you. Trust is revealed in obedience or lack thereof. We can say, well, I believe God's word to be true. Trusting it is when we begin to obey it. Are we going to let it shape how we live? Today, let that move us to a place of trust, to a place of obedience. That God, I'm bringing it to you because I can't handle it. God, I'm holding to your promises. And today, God, I'm going to trust that it's true. Maybe for the first time, I'm not going to try taking it in my own hands. I'm not going to try to make every situation right that you haven't asked me to. I'm going to listen, I'm going to trust and obey, because there's no better way. I remember that old song, trust and obey. There's a lot of truth in that. Trust and obey. Trust that this psalm is true. Trust that his promises are true, not for just your neighbor, but for your life too. As we close today, maybe in this place or online, you've walked in and you felt like that person on the island. Felt stranded. Stranded in your hurt, stranded in your grief, stranded in all that you're going through. And maybe a whole bunch of times you're like, I stuffed that bottle and I've thrown it as far as I could and it just keeps coming back and it's left me wondering, does anyone care? Today I want to tell you, he does. That he's received that bottle. He's seen everything that's been written there. Every hurt, every trial, every temptation. And he says, I see you, I know you, and I'm with you, and I'm for you. And today he sent back a message. The message that was in that bottle. The truth that we read today from his word. That is true and can be standed on. That God sees your situation. God is with you in it. And God is for you. And he will wipe away every tear, either now or forevermore. And church, we can stand on that. That's where we find our hope. That's where we find our confidence. Not in the things of this world, but in Jesus Christ. Church, would you stand with me as we pray? Lord, today, we thank you for your truths. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that when we have all the questions, and those questions run rampant, those questions are normal. God, do you hear? God, do you see? God, do you care? God, your response is this. I'm with you. I'm for you. You can trust me. So Lord, today begin to stir in our hearts, begin to shift perspectives, that we would begin to believe that, and then we would trust it and respond. So today, all over this place or online, if there's things that we're carrying in that we were never meant to carry, if there's things that are causing the tears to run down our face or tears to fill our hearts, today, God, we bring it to you. We bring it to the foot of the cross and we say, God, we can't carry this anymore. We bring it and we lay it at your feet and we say, God, I'm holding your promises that you make all things new, that you are for me, not against me. So Lord, today we bring that to you. We hold to your word. And today as we leave here, let us walk in trust. Let us obey what you ask of us. Let us not try to be the solver of all of our own problems, but instead lean into you and ask God, ask you what you would have us do. And then we would trust and obey. Because Lord, there truly is no better way than to trust you and to follow you. So Holy Spirit, empower us, lead and direct us as we go today. Let everything we do and say bring glory and honor to you. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. And we said together, church, amen, amen. Love you, church.